Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 4. Can you hear me? Luke chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 31 to 37. In the Red Church Bibles, you'll find it on page 835. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area.
It's wonderful to be with you in between Christmas and New Year, and we're going to pray and look at this scripture together. Father, we do pray, and we're asking in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would help us see truth, see light from your word. Lord, that our faith might be in you, that we would receive goodness from you and grace from you, hope from you, peace from you, Lord. And we ask that you would be doing all those things through your word and your spirit this morning, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. What a joy we've had over Christmas to consider again the baby born in a manger. And, you know, one of the wonders of that image for me, and I think probably for all of us, is that when you think of God coming to the world as a baby, you wonder, one of the great wonders is the potentiality. And you think, what are you saying? Well, I'll tell you what I mean by the potentiality, and that is, there's this question when this little baby is born, for all that are looking at this child, is what is this little one going to be? I mean, who is he going to become? I mean, that it begs the question when it's a tiny baby. When he grows and he reaches his potential, what will he do? And when the Son of God comes on the earth to dwell amongst us, how will he spend his time? What will be his main projects? What will he say? And if he's going to be obedient to the Father who sent him, what will he do? When Jesus commences his ministry, certainly central to what he did was teaching, and he preached. And wonderful also in how he lived out his life for his Father was an amazing thing. That he would often spend time in personal encounters with people. It's remarkable when you think about it. You might have thought, well, Jesus, you've only got 3 years on the earth and you better use your time very efficiently. And the most efficient way to use your time would be to get as many a crowd as you can and to preach to great crowds. But you know, in the wisdom of God, when Jesus came, he actually spent a remarkable amount of time with individuals, personally encountering them, speaking to them, and in love, dealing with people one-on-one. In these next 6 weeks, until term starts in February, we're going to be looking at extraordinary personal encounters that Jesus has with people, especially as they're found here in the book of Luke. Do you know these personal encounters, they tell us something already, and that is that God cares about you. He's not just concerned about the crowd. And in a crowd, yes, you can find anonymity. But God knows about you. He encounters you. He meets you with his own personal love. And today, the encounter we're looking at is the first one that we find in the book of Luke. And it is this encounter that Jesus has with a man who has an unclean spirit, it says, a demon in him. A demon, an unclean spirit, had laid claim on a man. In a sense, he owned the man, and it seems like it was actually quite a disturbance. Like Marilyn read to us, it says that he went down, this is Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, that was a Saturday, on a Sabbath, he taught the people. And they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice. So here it is, a Sabbath day, and Jesus has got the people gathered, and he's teaching them. And it says there that everyone was amazed at his teaching. And the thing that really hit them for six was the authority with which he taught. Jesus was a very powerful preacher. He was clear, he was direct, he was true, and it came with power to people's lives. And these people had never experienced anything like it. They were amazed, it says, that his power, this authority that this man had. And everyone was talking. We've never seen anything like this. But in the synagogue, there was a man, we read, possessed by a demon, an impure spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice. So think of this. Everyone's silent, maybe like you are right now, silent. Everyone's just quiet, listening to Jesus' teaching. But then there's this yelling. A loud yelling, as loud as you can imagine. And this is what this man says, verse 34. Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And the one yelling is this man, possessed, it says here, by a demon. This impure spirit has got control of him. What the demon says was, number one, go away, Jesus. Get away. Don't come near us. Just get out of here. The first thing. And then he asks a question. What do you want us with us? What have you got to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? This demon says, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. So notice straight away, there's enmity here. Like there's hatred in this man towards Christ. Get away. What do you want to do with us? And there's also fear and acknowledgement of Jesus' authority. I know who you are. You know, it took the disciples a long time. If you read the Gospels, you'll find that it took the disciples a long time to realize who Jesus is. There's many times in the Gospels where it says the disciples say to each other, who is this man? I don't know. It's like, who is this? But this demon knew who he was. Do you know, some scholars say that the demon naming who he was, I know who you are, You're the Holy One of God. It's like the demon was sort of like trying to get advantage, spiritual advantage somehow. I know who you are. A little bit like when Jesus asked a demon its name. But Jesus says, be quiet. Sternly, he says, come out of him. And then the demon threw the man to the ground before them all and came out without injuring him. You know, Jesus never lets demons speak. When Jesus is around, it's Jesus' own truth and own words that he wants to come into people's hearts and minds. And never does he allow evil to speak or have authority. And when Jesus commands, the demon obeys immediately. It's not like, you know, when little kids say, oh, maybe I will or maybe I won't when you give a command. Sort of, maybe, I'll just see, I'm not sure. Well, there's none of that. It's like there's no question. The authority is in the own words of Christ, and it says that the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Jesus' authority is extreme and supreme. All the people, it says, were amazed and said to each other, what words these are. With authority and in power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out. And all the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Everyone was talking. Everyone. They'd never seen anything like it. What words these are. What authority. We've never seen anything to equal it. He speaks to evil spirits, and with authority and power, they come out and they obey. So I want to reflect on this passage with you. The first thing that I'd like us to think about, actually, is in some ways the elephant in the room, and that is, I want to mention to you and talk to you about angels and demons. Because it is amazing in the Bible, even if you look back at the very first part of Luke chapter 4. So we're in Luke chapter 4 and we're towards the end. But if you look back in Luke chapter 4 and looked at the beginning, do you know what you'd find? You'd find that Jesus goes out into the wilderness and he has this encounter with the devil himself. And so there's this encounter with supreme evil. It's like even when Jesus first commences his ministry, the first thing he does is it says that he's led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. He'd fasted 40 days, and now he has this one-on-one encounter with supreme evil. And now in Luke chapter 4, this demon turns up. And you know what? It's surprising just how often angels and demons are present in the Bible. If you go to the birth of Jesus, where we've just been celebrating at Christmas time, do you know an angel comes to Zechariah? An angel comes to Mary? An angel comes to Joseph in the dreams? And at the death of Jesus, an angel comes to Jesus in his death and many other places. So we've got this Bible that's filled with angels and demons. And it's very disconcerting to our scientific age, where we consider that all we've got is what is naturalism, and all we've got is what we can touch and see with our eyes. But do you know what? The Bible enters into a whole area of knowledge and reality that is beyond what we can see with our eyes and our ears. The Bible is saying, no, your life is way more significant than you know. That your own existence is the result of God, who is spirit and who is true. And there is a conflict going on that you cannot see beyond this world. There's evil and it's real and can be personal, as we find here in Luke chapter 4. The Bible teaches that there's a created order, that everything that you see, the stars, the earth, everything in the sea, all the creatures, and you yourselves, we're all created by God. But it also speaks about another created order, and that is that it speaks of angels. And we don't know much about how demons came into existence, but in 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude chapter 6, it seems like the angels rebelled, some of them, Lucifer himself, a beautiful angel, rebelled against God and said, no, I just want to run my own show. And as a result, those that were angels and beautiful become demonic and fall to the lowest bottom of the moral world. And so that which was created now becomes bad. Do you know what this tells us? Is that there is a brokenness in the created order of this world that is probably deeper than we know. When I think of all the suffering in the world, when I think, you just turn on the TV, you just look, you read your history books, you just see the suffering in your own lives. There is a brokenness in this created order that is that reaches deeply. The suffering throughout history, the suffering in animal suffering, and it affects us. And it's into this broken creation that Jesus steps into this world with tremendous authority. He comes with authority, extraordinary authority. And that's the second thing that I'd like us to think about. I'd like us to think about the authority of Jesus. Because it says initially when he's teaching on the Sabbath day, the thing that astonished the people was the authority of this man. that was what astonished them. Do you remember one day, many of you will remember, one day Jesus was on asleep in a boat, and there was other disciples in the boat, and a terrible storm came. And these were sailors. They knew what a storm was, and they'd weathered many storms. But here they are in the boat, and they really thought, this is it. We're going to die. And Jesus is still asleep, and they go and shake him. And they say, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care? We're going to die. And Jesus stands up, and he says, peace. Be still. And the winds die down, and the sea grows calm. And the disciples say, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. He's got authority, you see. No one has got authority like this man. That's extraordinary authority. And so in the same way, this demon cries out and says, if you come to destroy us, and Jesus will not let him speak. He's got authority. And with his authority, he casts him out. Some scholars think that when the demon says, are you going to come, have you come to destroy us? The us there is me and this man. It's like the us, I always thought of it as all us demons. But maybe it's possible that he's talking about, you're going to come and destroy me and this man because I own him. I've got authority over him. And if you destroy, you're going to be taking us both out. It might be something like that. And with one command, Jesus commands him to come out, and the man is thrown down unharmed. Do you know, Jesus, when a king commands something, whatever he says, he's got sovereign power to bring it to pass. And Jesus comes with a kingly authority beyond anything that anyone had ever known. A kingly authority. over sickness, over wind, over waves, over the demonic. He's got this authority. That's who he is. One with tremendous authority. I think about, even in John chapter 10, do you remember Jesus talking about him laying down his life when he's just before he goes, he's talking about going to the cross. And he says, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. That's crazy. I have authority to lay my life down, and I have authority to take it up again. And it is with authority that the Bible teaches that Christ will come again, and he will judge, and he will gather the wheat into his barns, and the chaff will be burnt up with everlasting, unquenchable fire, and he has got authority to make all things new. That's who he is. But lastly, I'd like you to think with me about how Jesus uses his authority, because it is remarkable. Jesus uses his authority in great love. He comes to this world with remarkable authority, and he uses it in love for people that are broken and lost and hurting and confused and in bondage and sick. And he does bring his authority for people's life and blessing and health. That's how he uses his authority. Do you know, he comes across this man with a demon in him, and he uses his authority to set him free. In love. That's his great joy. That's his great desire, to bring blessing, freedom, peace to this man. Do you know, Jesus could have said, like us human beings say, well, I've got a pretty busy program on today, and I think he should be okay. Or he doesn't say, well, he's been like that for a while, and it's his own fault. Or he doesn't say, look, I've got a few things on of my own on today that I need to attend to. Jesus doesn't say anything like that. Jesus' whole attention and power and authority is in love for the man. That's Jesus using his authority for hope and for blessing. And in love, he sets this man free. This same Jesus, who had so much authority, marvelously obeyed his heavenly Father. He did whatever his Father asked him to do. And even when he was handed over to wicked men who hated him and beat him and flogged him and laughed at him and nailed him to a cross, even then Jesus remained obedient to his Father. And do you remember that when he rose and he met with his disciples, the very last words that he said to his disciples, do you remember? He says to his disciples, all authority has been given to me. That's what he said. All authority. That makes my heart sing, and it makes my mind boggle. All authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you, even to the end of the age. I want you to know that this same Jesus carries the same authority as ever he carried. He carries this authority today. Yes, he does. And he's calling us, all of humanity, to know what the enjoyment of his authority over us is like. Because, you know, the wind obeys him, the waves obey him, the demons obey him, sickness obeys him, But there is one category of creation that doesn't obey Christ. Many people, they just wander away. Their hearts do not obey. They do not love him. But if anyone would hear his call and to receive his authority, then he's got authority to forgive all your sins because of his dying and rising. Yes, to wipe them all away. And he's got authority to rule over you and to make you free. There's something very, very deep in the human soul that can be renewed and is renewed by the goodness and the power and the grace of Christ. And he does it with a holy authority in your lives at the very deepest level of who you are, giving you hope and love. There is an authority of love that comes with Christ. An authority, I don't know what pain you're in this morning. I don't know what difficulties, hardships, challenges, confusions, all sorts of things that face you. But I do know one thing. There is one, a king, and his name is Christ. He's risen from the grave, and he has authority. And if you give your allegiance to him and know the beauty and the goodness and the grace of his authority over your life, there is hope. There is peace. There is strength that comes from him who has all authority. He can bring this power and life and hope to your life. Let me pray. Lord, I want to bow with all these others because it says in Philippians 2 that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And so, Lord, before you we bow, acknowledge that you are the true King and that we want to receive the goodness and enjoy the blessing of having your authority rule over us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us Christ, and we're thankful, Lord, that there is a life and a truth in you beyond anything that we could ever know without you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.